Welcome, everybody, to the live deep dive. Ian, this is live. We've got people watching. We can't go back and correct mistakes. You can't yell inappropriate things. Are you prepared for that burden?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any madness on right now so that I won't make any terrible mistakes when I'm pretending to listen to you.
That's a key point, pretending to listen to me. If we had had this live immediately after the Texas basketball game last night, we could have both been banned from the internet. But it's okay. We got a night's sleep. We got to rest. And today is a new day. Welcome, Roaster. And welcome to all of you. Thanks for joining us on the Inside Texas YouTube channel. Of course, we want you guys to subscribe, like, and of course, go join Inside Texas. It is the premier place to talk Texas sports. And there's a lot of talk about Texas sports right now. Hey, I understand everyone's obsessed and excited about March Madness. However, we're going to have a little change up because we know other shows are going to be covering that exhaustively, and we'll have plenty to say about Rodney Terry and other things going on with UT Hoops. However, we're going to talk a little bit about Texas football, which is a year-round sport, Ian. I'm not sure if you're aware. And we're about to have a spring where the players are going to really get to evaluate the coaches are going to get to really evaluate these players. And we wanted to talk about who we think the starters are going to be this spring or after this spring concludes. We are not going to try to anticipate transfers. We're going with the current roster as we got them. And I think we're probably not going to try to slot people in who are injured. Maybe we'll have to make a call on that one, Ian, whether or not we want to do that. But without any further ado, Ian, do you have anything to say before we get started with the offense?
I was absolutely going to say transfer in a starting spot if you hadn't just given that disclaimer. We're not going to do that.
You're just going to say wide receiver 3, dominant transfer receiver 2 named.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, that's taken off the shelf. Let's start with the offense, Ian, and let's start with the big boys in the trenches. We've got some serious things to do there in terms of replacing some really good guys, some really experienced guys. What's that going to look like? Talk to me. Let's start out at left tackle and work our way to the right.
So left tackle, I don't think there's a ton of intrigue here. I think Trevor Goosby and who the first backup is might be interesting.
Yes.
It's probably whoever wins right tackle, which we'll get to in 4 spots. But Goosby is the lock for a left tackle.
All right, I'll take guard since you nailed that one. I think it's going to be Nate Umeozulu. I think he knows that this is his time to step up, maybe get a little better with the playbook, which I think had been holding him back. Here's the thing that we love about Nate, Ian. There's no doubt in my mind he's an upgrade as a run blocker. I think he's a guy that can move the pile, and he has a mean streak to him. What he needs to do is get his pass pro chops up a little bit, because that is something, whatever criticisms you had for Hayden Connor, an outstanding pass protector at guard.
That's my old friend Ben there. I used to have epic ping pong battles with him in high school at the Pflugerville Rec Center.
Did you guys play it like Taiwanese, Chinese ping pong? Like, did you stand 15 feet back from the table and play like that? Or did you just kind of go?
It's somewhere in between.
Oh, wow.
In defense of our level of play at the time. I'm with you. I think it'll be Neto. I watched some of his clips from when he got, fourth quarter snaps and blowouts. And you can see the run blocking talent. So unless Cole Hudson can't win center.
That brings us to center.
Yep.
We both think it'll be Cole Hudson. I think he's going to be a good center. And again, I think he's a guy who can potentially move people off the ball. Pretty good movement as well. He was good pulling as a guard, at least in identifying people in space and delivering a blow. And we will pull the center, as we've demonstrated in the past. So I think that's where we're hoping that he seals up the center spot. And that brings us to right guard. Who we got there, Ian?
DJ Campbell returns.
Yeah.
Now, so is there any chance that they actually flip the guard, that Campbell goes to left guard as the senior experienced guy. So you compare him with Goosby, and then you put Neto to form a strong right side with whoever the right tackle is, who might actually be a better run blocker than Goosby. Or do you just keep Campbell where he's at?
I think you keep Campbell where he's at. And interestingly, arguably our best point of attack blockers last year were both our tackles, Cam Williams and Kelvin Banks.
Yeah.
But in many instances, we were a right-handed running team, particularly when Cam was feeling it. So I think they'll keep DJ there. And I think they'll probably also like him there for his experience, because the guy that's going to take over right tackle is going to be an inexperienced player. And we've got a few options here, Ian. So throw it out, and then let's decide on who it's going to be at right tackle.
So the options, the two big options are Andre Kodjo and Brandon Baker. And, you know, maybe an outside chance at Jaden Chapman.
Interesting.
I think he's in the depth chart at tackle. So if he were to make like a big leap this offseason, you know, maybe.
Who do you think?
I thought you were going to do that. I'm going to lean toward talent and say Baker. Kodjo, even if he's like a dutiful warrior, memorizes the playbook, reliable, continues to improve, there's still a chance he can grab a starting spot the year after if Goosby goes pro, which, you know, hopefully he makes that kind of improvement. So I think you can keep Kodjo happy and just give it to Baker and let talent ride.
You know, we're in such a weird era, Ian, that we're talking about one-year starters on the offensive line going pro.
It's nice.
It's insane. That was not a thing ever. Cam Williams did it last year. I mean, just that is unprecedented. That's not a position where you see a guy one and done. And it's increasingly become a fixture of college football. So the churn never ends.
Texas recruiting a different sort of tackle nowadays than they used to.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. Well, that's the offensive line that we see from stem to stern.
Our producer's telling us we could list transfer possibility at right tackle, but I actually, Mr. Producer, I don't think that's terribly likely. I don't think they will pursue a transfer to fill in at right tackle. It's unlikely that they find one better than the options on campus.
Yeah, we'll see. The producer tried to interfere with the talent. Your job is to make the talent better, producer. Stay in your lane. All right. So stem to stern on the offensive line, we're looking at Goosby, Umiozolu, Hudson, Campbell, and we think Baker. Fair?
Yeah.
Tight end, I can handle that one. Jordan Washington. Young redshirt freshman. He's got a lot of talent. He's up to 250 pounds, Ian. This is a guy whose senior year of high school was around 200. And everyone was saying, he's too much of a basketball player. He's not big enough. He doesn't weigh enough. But don't make me tap the sign, everyone. Guess who can put on weight and get strong? Elite college athletes with a big frame. And it happens all the time. He gained 50 pounds in about 18 months. And no, it's not the way we gain 50 pounds. His 50 pounds looks good. So I think that's going to be our tight end.
It's not De Niro loose in Paris preparing to play Fat Raging Bull. Ever heard about that?
Yes.
Yeah, crazy.
All right. Who's going to be the quarterback? I'm going to give you a softball.
I think this will be Arch Manning.
Okay.
I think maybe there's a little intrigue on the backup.
Oh, you think it'll be Lacey rather than Owens?
I think, remember in 23 when Murphy was the backup, but Texas was playing like BYU and K-State. And it was like, if there was an extended period of time where Ewers was going to be out, you would wonder if Arch was eventually just going to get thrown in. I think they'll make Trey Owens the backup. They'll want to keep him on campus. But I don't know And they may throw him out there if they need a backup, but I don't know if he could hold off KJ Lacy if it were like they need to make a playoff run.
Interesting. All right. Well, our remit was not to name the second team, so we'll move on from that discussion.
Oops. All right,
let's talk wide receiver. You want to give me two easy ones, and then I'll try to see if I can nail number three.
Yeah. So the slot is going to be DeAndre Moore, who I wrote about this morning. I think he's
did write about this, and this is worth your time. Go read that article and why DeAndre Moore and that slot position are going to be really valuable for Arch in this offense.
And then, as we've been saying for a while, Ryan Wingo has got to be a big-time player outside. Then that third spot, big-time transfer. No, go ahead.
I'm going to go Jamie French.
Oh.
And the argument that I'm going to offer is Parker Livingstone, I think, might be the starter game one. But I think the cumulative number of games started by the end of the season will favor one of the freshmen. And I think that freshman will be French or Lockett. I'm not sure, but I'll go with French because I like the double F alliteration. And it's going to help me with a bunch of my headlines and articles.
Yeah. You know, one of our recent reports had French as a possibility in the slot because of his start-stop.
Yep.
You wonder if, let's say, the top three guys ended up being Moore, French, and Wingo, they could potentially move Moore outside, making my article this morning superfluous in order to get French inside.
Yep.
So that'd be an interesting shakeup if that proved to be the way they go.
Yeah, I think that would be really interesting. And I think we'll see some activity in the transfer portal, but that's not our job here. We're here to tell you who they're going to be starters after spring. I think one of those freshmen will emerge potentially during the season. It's happening more and more in college football. And I think there's a good shot at that happening. So, and also, as an aside, we talk a lot about speed and acceleration in a receiver. Very important. We don't ever talk about deceleration.
Yeah.
And that's just as important. There are entire NFL careers built off of deceleration. Antonio Brown, unremarkable size, unremarkable 40 time. From a deceleration standpoint, an absolute freak. Like, full sprint. Have you ever seen Ralphie run for Colorado?
Yeah, the Buffalo?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a female. I don't know if most people know that. But Ralphie and Buffalo in general can go from 30 miles per hour to an immediate stop in about 5 yards. I've never seen anything like it. So if you see her run, and I've been to a CU game and watched her get a good run on, and she runs to her trailer and runs up the ramp into the trailer and stops. And the first time I saw it, she was running so fast. I was like, oh no, like she's going to like run through the back end of this trailer. How can she stop? And she literally just went from a gallop to like, boop, and just stopped like completely passive. So anyway, it's always fun to talk about mascots and deceleration, Ian. All right.
It is wildly underappreciated. You see it in basketball all the time. The guys if you can see everything happen and react faster than everybody else, you're always open to shoot.
TJ Ford, college basketball national player of the year, brought us to the Final Four. A lot of that, deceleration. You can ask the man himself. He'll tell you. All right.
Luka Doncic and Jimmy Butler, some other ones that are really
good. No doubt. All right, let's talk about running back.
Yeah. Go tell me who the starting running back is.
Well, if we're going for guys who should be available in the fall, it looks like it may be slated to be CJ Baxter. But I'm not sure he's going to be ready. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Christian Clark. He's still coming back from his Achilles. So I'll go with the safe one and say Jarrett Gibson.
Yeah, I think that's the best bet right now. other than, you know, big time transfer.
You know what? Apparently, so you and I think big time transfer, but apparently the coaches disagree. So we'll see. The spring will be an interesting assessment for them.
We'll see. We'll see about that.
All right. Before we talk about the defense, I want to talk about one last thing regarding offense, and that's going on the offensive with the best possible team on your side to go buy a house. Ian, buying a house is one of the biggest things you'll ever do financially in your life. Do you agree?
Yeah, for us, that was a safe yes.
Yeah, I think it's a safe yes for 99% of Americans.
Yeah.
This is the guy you want on your team, Gabe Winslow. You can reach him at 832-557-1095. That's 832-557-1095. Why should you call Gabe? Over two decades of experience in this industry. He has owned a title company. He's basically an expert in every phase of this. And he's really good at tying up those loose ends. He's not just a guy who's going to provide you a mortgage quote. He's going to deliver on that end in spades. He can also go solve problems. Really sharp guy. He's got a law degree. Pretty helpful guy to have in your corner when you're doing a real estate transaction. And he's just really smart. Former National Merit Scholar, honors graduate from the University of Texas. He loves Longhorns and he loves helping people who are friends of Longhorns. Give him a call. Even if you're an Aggie, give him a call. He'll help you out. His brother's an Aggie. Can't help it. Give him a call, 832-557-1095. Tell him that Paul and Ian sent you, and he will take extra good care of you. He is a mortgage broker, which means he is not working for a big bank drawing a salary. He eats what he kills, and this is the guy you want in your corner going out there and fighting for your best financial benefit. All right, let's talk about who's going to fight for our best defensive benefit, Ian.
Yeah.
Talk about the starting 11 on defense. I can only think we're going to take a step back overall, but is that step back to a top 10 defense? Let's see.
Hopefully.
Let's talk about the starters.
2-4-5. I just wanted to say that to irritate you and Connor.
It is technically a 2-4-5. It's a 4-2-5. There aren't two men on the line of scrimmage, but from a personnel standpoint, you are correct.
Yes. So let's go strong side edge. Ethan Burke seems.
Can you believe he's a senior?
He's a senior?
Yeah. That's how he's listed on the roster. Is that right? No, that's wrong. He's a junior. Oh, my God.
I was like, I thought he was a freshman and playing against
that was
Alabama incorrect. 23.
Oh, my God. They have a roster error. Never mind. Oh, well. Ethan Burke, strong side defensive end. Sorry to derail you there. You keep going.
No, he is a senior. That was the sophomore year. So 22, 23, 24, 25, and he's played all years. So he will be a senior this season.
Oh, wow. Wild.
Yeah.
Well, good opportunity for us to learn our own roster. All right. Talk to me about Ethan Burke.
He's good. He's a good player. He played some strong side edge last year behind Baron Sorrell, which is partly why people were like, what happened to Ethan Burke? It felt like he got more sacks and did more the year before. It's like, well, the year before he played the Colin Simmons Trey Moore position.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, he did not play that position any longer because Colin Simmons and Trey Moore played it. So he platooned with Baron Sorrell. Now he stands to inherit that spot. He also quietly, he played some four-eye last year and spun inside a little bit on passing downs.
Yep.
And that looks like that's going to be just fine this year for him.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of faces play edge. But I think Ethan Burke will be the starter. I think we're going to see a strong, strong rotation there. And it will be opponent-dependent, schematic-dependent. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, inside, right now, it looks like we're starting two transfers. We're starting, I think, Cole Brevard, the big guy from Purdue.
Yeah.
And then Travis Shaw, the big fellow from North Carolina.
You think, I would have said Alex January.
You think January is going to start over Shaw or Brevard?
Over Shaw, I think.
All right, well, let's see. Because from a talent perspective, Shaw's apparently got tons of ability.
Yeah.
But being in shape and sort of being focused has been a historical issue for him.
If Shaw starts over January, I would take that as a very positive sign.
As would I.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll go Shaw. You're going to go January.
Yeah.
Okay. I like your chances, but I'm betting on the upside here.
Sure. I don't even know if it's – I mean, January's pretty talented too. He's also apparently in the – I think he's going to emerge in the Byron Murphy, Vernon Broughton disruptive nose tradition, part-time defensive end.
Boy, I'll take that. Tell you what, we'll also see – I don't want to get too into it, but I think if we play big defensive tackles like that who maybe aren't necessarily penetrators, Ian, I think we might see an old Pete standby, which is the big space-eating defensive tackle, and then a bunch of fast guys running around next to him. We've got the personnel to do that. So let's talk about Buck. I think there's a guy who's going to start there. And I think his name is Colin Simmons. What do you think?
It's funny that there's like a game again. I think it was Arizona State or Ohio State. I can't actually remember which one. They were trying to pull Colin Simmons off the field to get Trey Moore back in. And he was like, no, I got this.
Yep.
He has way more motor than you would think for someone who's so fast twitch.
Yeah.
Isn't it wild?
He's crazy. I mean, he's just a complete football player. I'm in love with him. He's just like that level of ability combined with that level of effort. It's just awesome. And he's apparently very coachable. Like, the guy's a dream.
He got the best edge Texas had had in like 10 years or something, moved to inside linebacker to make room for him.
Yeah.
There's a good chance he's the best defensive player that we've had this so far this century when he's done.
Earl Thomas played in this century, so that's going to be an impressive mountain to climb there.
Well, there's some other guys you mentioned too, right? But yeah, he's up there.
No doubt. All right, let's talk about linebacker. Nice segue. We talked about Trey Moore. He's going to make a move to linebacker. I've heard him at will. I think he can play both strong side when we go 4-3. I think he can probably also credibly play the will. The few times I did see him do dropbacks playing edge, I thought he looked very comfortable. So,
yeah.
And I think this is his best NFL projection. So I think the coaches are doing him a favor as well. I also think it's good for us. So how are you going to balance? I know Anthony Hill starting at Mike, spoiler alert. So do we go Leonga Lefau? Do we go with my man Ty Anthony Smith, who basically every time he's on the field, he does really good things? And how are we balancing Trey Moore's snaps? Because he didn't make this move not to play. By the way, he'll also play at traditional edge. So who's starting next to Anthony Hill in the 4-2-5?
Trey Moore, I would think. Okay. Now, something else they can do is blitz a ton in the 2-4-5. Burke is a really credible dropper. If you want to drop Simmons, I imagine he could be good at it. I don't think you necessarily want to do that
often. I don't want to drop Simmons, but yes, he would be good at it.
Yeah. You can just drop out Burke and bring Hill and or Moore. I would love to see them do the cross dogs blitz where Burke and Simmons drop. And then it goes Hill Moore across the center's face in sequence.
You know who would love our personnel, Ian?
Dick LeBeau.
Yes. Jim Knowles.
Jim Knowles. Yes.
Dude, yeah. We're going to have to do a deep dive about this because we could create a very interesting simulation of the Ohio State defense, maybe with more speed, actually.
But anyway, you can blitz Moore all day and Hill. And just backfill and replace them with Michael Taft or Jelani McDonald or whoever, Jonah Williams.
And we've got an explosive guy off the bench in Brad Spence, the transfer from Arkansas, who that is his cup of tea.
Yeah.
He's explosive and he's a very good blitzer. So a lot of options here for Texas in terms of mischief and playing games. Let's talk about a huge strength in last year's team. We've got some new faces now. Some I'm very excited about. Some I'm not sure about. They're going to have to prove it on the field. Let's talk about the secondary. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Michael Taft starts at safety.
Yeah.
Who's going to join him?
I think Derek Williams
will not be a spring participant, but we hope he's going to be ready for the fall.
It sounds like he's doing pretty well. From what I've heard, there are guys that were injured all of last year that are doing really well, and there are ones that are doing a little slower. And he seems to be on the better end. His was earlier in the year, right? Wasn't it like in week three or something? He is the ideal guy to pair with Taff. Because ideally, Taff would gain some weight and keep playing in the box and just hold up a little better. And Williams, you would just drop him to center field every play. And even when he's back in center field, he reminds me of Earl Thomas with the plays he reaches and when he reaches them, despite starting at depth. At least pre-injury.
Yeah, and I think you can actually switch them, and they'd both be fine as well.
Yeah.
Williams has length, and I think that really helps him in disrupting things on the sideline, right, coming from the center field. All right, I've got an easy one. I think it's a guy who's going to be a superstar for us, Jelani McDonald. He's going to play nickel. Now, if Williams is not fully back, I think Jelani goes to safety. Yeah. But I think we've got Jelani at nickel, and I think he's going to be a major impact player, not only in coverage, but in run support, where he's a very good tackler. He's also big. But also, if you're noticing a trend or theme for this defense, I think Jelani could be a spectacular blitzer for us as well.
Yeah.
Very disruptive. And when you add him to Anthony Hill, Simmons, Trey Moore, I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous amount of greyhounds running around disrupting stuff.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. I don't think I've ever seen a blitzing team like this before.
We got to get people on third down, Ian.
Man, just blitz them into third down.
Yeah, seriously.
Can you imagine, like, just the nickel blitz that used to be the most obvious thing in the world from PK?
Yeah.
Is now, like, the thing you least suspect.
Well, it's funny because it's PK's default. Like, I don't know what to do to get pressure. Let's blitz the nickel.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to take on a permutations that we've not yet seen, to your point. All right. Let's talk about some new faces out of corner and an old familiar face. Who do you think our starting corners are going to be?
Jalen Gilbo and I almost said Kobe Black and Malik Muhammad.
Are we going to be fast enough at corner with those two starting?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, you can play him off if you need to. I think Gilbo will be good. Muhammad actually played a lot of press coverage last year.
Yeah.
And he may have been burned a time or two, but that kind of just happens when you play press. And a lot of times it doesn't matter. But Gilbo, I think, will be good at
it. Our strength is going to be blitzing.
Yeah.
How much do we want to play off?
You know, depends in part on what you're doing underneath, but less.
Yeah.
If you're playing straight man, like Akina style, then you don't really want to be off as much unless you're really good at it. If you're not playing zone at linebacker and you're playing man there, then you need to be tighter because you don't have anything underneath.
Yep. Agreed. We've got Barry Sorrell in the chat, not Baron Sorrell, saying 88 is great. What's up, fellas? We love Baron Sorrell. Barry Sorrell sounds like an accountant. So maybe this is Baron, and he's gracing us with his presence, but he left out an N.
I'm excited to see where he ends up in the NFL.
I think he's a dude like the Ravens type organizations are going to fall in love with. Ravens. He's a Ravens Steeler guy all the way.
Yeah.
Gritty, high effort. Does whatever you tell him to do. Like, he'll do all the dirty work and doesn't care. All right, so that's our starting 11 on offense and our starting 11 on defense. We probably are not going to see that if we work. Ah, the father. Got it. Welcome. We are all big fans of your son.
He's awesome.
We are probably not going to see these two starting units. We're probably going to see some changes, but that really depends on what the spring portal provides, Ian. So we've talked about that before and where we need to most get some new blood and maybe some new faces to enliven the roster. But if we had to roll with this crew, I think that's our starting groups. Do we feel pretty good about them, Ian?
I feel pretty good. I'm a little less worried than I was maybe earlier in the offseason. Talked myself into it a little bit. Except they have to have another tight end and they should get another running back.
I agree, but the coaches are seeing something we are not seeing. Maybe Jarrett Gibson is just a complete monster in this offseason. I don't know.
Yeah, or maybe they don't see it until the portal window is easier to navigate, and then all of a sudden they see it, you know?
Well, I'll say this. Cam Scadavo agrees with me. You can find running backs at the lower levels.
Yeah.
It's a weird developmental position. There's just a lot of guys who are high school running backs who are 5'10", 175, and run a 4.6, and they fly under the radar, and they start eating food, and they get a college S&C program, and all of a sudden they weigh 210, and they're running a 4.4, and they're destroying people at Appalachian State. Yeah. And you can go get those guys for cheap. And frankly, they're not that disruptive to your roster because your scholarship running backs see that guy coming in from, you know, Sacramento State, and they just roll their eyes like, hey, this guy can't play. He's coming in for depth. So, and then sometimes they get a little bit of a surprise. So we'll see. We'll see on that one. We'll be charting it and we'll be tracking lots of other stuff in this exciting offseason. Thanks to all of you for joining us. You guys go watch your college basketball now or do work, whatever it is you need to do. But make sure you like and subscribe and make sure you go join Inside Texas. For Ian Boyd, I'm Paul Wadlington saying, hook 'em.